Today on We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals, we're talking about Evita. On this night of 1,000 stars, we follow Eva Perón to Buenos Aires, Big Apple. Did we think Evita was surprisingly good for us, or is she just another suitcase in another hall? Either way, we won't cry for her, Argentina, and we also won't cry for our theme song.
Oh boy, I think you included every word in the entire musical in that intro.
I don't think so. I think I've done that before, but not in this one. There's a lot of words in this
one. Yeah, but I mean, obviously it's an exaggeration, but...
I take that as a compliment. Compliment, wow.
Oh boy, you take a lot of things as a compliment.
I feel like you could give somebody a compliment, but if you called it a compliment, they would be offended.
Like, as they should be.
Well, I don't know. If you said, hey, you look really good today, and that's a compliment, they'd be like, thank you?
Well, they'd feel like it's some sort of joke they're not getting.
Well, it definitely would be.
Well, because now it's an inside joke, except it's outside because everyone's hearing it.
Huh. I don't think that's how inside jokes work.
So if a comedian's making a jab at someone in the front row, is that an inside joke between him and that person? No.
No, but inside, never mind.
It's an outside joke.
Okay, no, that's not how it works. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And guys... This is episode 53. Can you believe it? 53 whole episodes.
What was our 50th?
I don't remember.
We didn't even like say anything celebratory for
Well, because I think we were waiting until our 1 year anniversary of the show.
Were we?
Yeah, we're doing something special for the 1 year.
Oh no, I know that. I just didn't know. We could still celebrate our 50th show.
No, nope,
let's celebrate
late.
This show.
Okay. This is a good show to celebrate.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome to the celebration.
Of 53.
Put your party hats on. You look good in it, by the way, and that's a compliment. And...
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just one of the many examples to prove that this is the podcast of Can't Talking.
Mm.
And, you know, I was thinking about that. The podcast of Can't Talking, it makes sense with our musical format because they sing a lot. So it's like, hey, you can't talk. You got to sing.
Maybe we should just take one episode and just sing the entire time.
Okay, let's start. I mean, this is a celebration. Let's do it. Let's do it now.
Do we really have to?
No.
Oh. That's
okay,
fun.
Good. Yeah, that was fun. Well, guys, we're talking about Andrew Lloyd Webber all month. That's what we've been doing. Speaking of celebrations... I just want to let you guys know, I should probably ask Elise this, though. Are we going to live tweet Jesus Christ Superstar?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, guys, April 1st, Jesus Christ Superstar is airing live on NBC with John Legend, Alice Cooper, and Sarah Bareilles. I'm stoked about it. Because I don't know what it's going to be like. I like Jesus Christ Superstar, but who knows what this will be like. Mm. But we're going to live tweet it so you can get our opens right there live on social meds.
I think that this is a fantastic idea.
Me too. Glad we thought of it.
That's a compliment. Compliment. I can't even say it right.
Can't talking. So we're not talking about Jesus Christ Superstar, though. Let's hold off on that at least another week. And we're talking about Evita this week, a.k.a. Antonio Banderas Can Sing, ... parentheses, the musical, ... parentheses.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks at Liam McAvoy for that alternate title with so many dots and so many parentheses. And man, you went for it.
We may be can't talking, but he may be can't typing. Am I right?
Oh, so right.
Got him.
You got him. Well, thanks, Liam, anyways. Thanks for so many dots. Oh, and also learn how to spell Banderas. Just little tip. Maybe it was an autocorrect. Maybe I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know? And I mess up talking so much. One day we're going to find out I have a brain tumor, and then we're going to listen back to these episodes, and it won't be funny.
Oh, that's because it's really sad.
I know. Well, Evita...
Nice transition.
I had never seen Evita before. This was a brand new experience for me.
Evita had never seen you before.
That's so true.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of that.
I know. I could tell.
Well, that's really hurtful, actually. It's not a compliment.
Sorry. I meant it as a compliment. Oh. So, Evita, yeah, brand new to me. What'd you think of Evita? Your first experience, too, I assume?
Yes, you assume correctly.
Yay.
Yeah, good job. Compliment. Yeah, I had no idea what anything was about and went into it completely blind. Now I can see, though.
Hey, set you free.
I can see what it's all about. It's interesting. You know, it's based off of a real-life figure.
Figure.
Like, is that what? Is that it's like a waitress? To,
no, it was eyes, hair, mouth, figure. I think those are the words.
Is
eyes,
that?
Hair, mouth, figure. Yeah.
Okay. I apologize.
I think it's in rainbow something.
Rainbow High.
Rainbow High, yeah.
Yeah. It's where they go to a high school that actually is in a rainbow.
Rainbow High. I mean, this fall, FX Junior. Is there an FX Junior?
No, but there should be. That's a great idea.
Or the CW. Is that a channel still?
Yeah, totally. That's where Supernatural lives.
Rainbow High sounds like it would be on the CW.
I don't feel like that's a compliment.
It's not.
Ouch, man. CW, run for your life. I'm kind of liking doing this whole Andrew Lloyd Webber month because Andrew Lloyd Webber has a lot of things that he does.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's, yeah. But the crazy thing is that everything that we watch is so vastly different from each other. And yet, there are ties that bind his works together. And it is very interesting to me. And I like that we're watching them all in one month because I'm seeing that more and I'm liking it.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of like similar melodies or kind of anthems that people chant or sing or whatever. And but like you said, the styles always change. This is a very much like it has a lot of Latin sounding stuff, South American sounding stuff because it's set in Argentina. But it's also got that rock and roll feel. It's got some like a flamenco style guitar, I guess you would call it. You know, with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, we had like 1920s jazz, we had rock and roll, like from Elvis style, we had calypso, we had country, and it doesn't jump around genres as much, but it does change every once in a while. But yeah, I agree with you, the genre can change and you can still be like, oh, this is Andrew Lloyd Webber though.
Yeah. And this one reminded me a little bit of Phantom in the way that just one chord playing as someone saying a lot of words. And This musical and what other one did we just do?
Cats.
Oh, it was Cats. There's a couple times in both of those where I thought, you know, for a second they were going to bust into wishing you were somehow here again. Like it was like a very similar, I don't know, vibe. But anyways, this is just so crazy different. I feel like if we wouldn't have watched it in the same month as the other ones, I wouldn't have caught the similarities, so I found that very interesting.
You were talking about Phantom, and as I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, I like the Phantom of the Opera, but it's not my favorite. I really enjoy the plot, but I feel like you just saw it live, and a lot of times you said there was kind of lulls. And I find that in Phantom, just watching it, not just on stage, but in the movie format, there's a lot of like slow moments in Phantom.
Slowments, as I like to call them.
Yes, a lot of slowments. And I don't like that. But with Evita, I found the plot not as interesting as Phantom, but I liked the music more than I like Phantom.
Oh, wow.
So let's get into music. Let's talk about it. We kind of mentioned the style a little bit is very South American, Latin feeling, if that's the appropriate term. I don't know. There's waltzes. There's ballads.
Tango.
There are those. Yeah, there's like those rock anthems, but yeah, it's all over the map, so there's a lot to choose from. Let's start with least favorite songs. Elise, what was your least favorite song from Evita?
Okay, so my least favy is She is a Diamond.
Same.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey.
But I want to know why. Why is it your least?
You know, I love the idea of this song, but I just don't feel like it was executed well. It could have been a lot more powerful. And I also don't think I'm a huge fan of that guy's voice.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who, you know, we're talking about the movie version, I guess.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just adding that in, but the song itself, like, I just don't think it's, I don't think it did its job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's my least favorite song too, so I guess it didn't really do it for me either. And this is near the end of the musical where it feels like everything's kind of wrapping up. The Waltz for Ava and Shay, that song, it's dreamy. It's the two of them kind of looking back on things that have happened, kind of contemplating where she is in her life. And it, to me, it feels like the musical's about to wrap up at that point, but it still keeps going for several songs. And they're slower songs, like the final broadcast, the lament, and She's a Diamond is one of those as well. And it's just, I feel like the musical loses steam. But I'm not like dissing slow songs. I like slow songs, and I thought The Lament is a really pretty song. You Must Love Me is a good song, as far as melody goes. Mm-hmm. But She is a Diamond is in the middle of there, and it's just like I agree with you. Whatever they were trying to do with that song, it just doesn't really land. Let's move on to favorite songs. What was your favorite song from Evita?
My favorite song is On This Night of a Thousand Stars.
Really?
Yes.
That's so interesting, because I remember when we were watching that, you were like, ooh, I dig this. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, I mean, it's not really essential to the plot. It's just kind of like a random song that this dude sings that Eva eventually falls in love with, I guess. But so it's almost more like a concert song than actual like plot progression.
But it's weird because it also comes back because he performs this
At the charity.
Yeah, for the charity ball or whatever. So I think it's important to show.
No, it could have been anything, though, because it comes back just so you can remember, oh, that's that guy. Because he doesn't even sing it the whole thing again. It's just like a hint of it.
I know,
it's
a good
song. I'm bashing you, but like, it's a good song.
Ooh, just that jazzy, like, bum. Bum, bum. You know what I'm saying?
On this night of a thousand stars.
Like, the instruments in that song, like, kill me. You know, like, I want to die.
Oh, I think that means it's your least favorite song.
So good.
Oh, so you meant it as a compliment.
A compliment, yeah. Because it's like my kidneys, maybe, are, like, starting to dance. And
they shut down?
Well, no, they're just, like, getting all out of place and...
Yeah, they turn the open sign, flip it around to closed, and then they go on break so they can dance.
Right, exactly. Break dance. That's where that term originated, actually. People dancing on their breaks. On the okay. Anyways, I think that is a great song. I love the instruments. I love that dude's voice. Like, that is... Wow. Really? Why can't he sing every day forever? It's so raspy. You don't think it's good?
No, it's fine, but I think it's meant to be kind of just like... funny in a way. Like, he's just like some like club singer dude singing a song, and you're like, that's my favorite.
He's a very
that's like
good
saying
singer.
Your favorite part about the movie was the preview beforehand. It's like, yeah, it was
not
a good preview,
like that at
but
all.
Like, not because it doesn't matter to the actual plot of the movie you're about to watch.
But also, that guy has like two other songs, so it's not like he's a throwaway character.
Does he really, though? What else does he sing?
Yeah, because he sings Beware of the City.
Okay, but that's kind of like a duet with her, because I love that song.
Well, yeah.
I like to be Buenos Aires.
Big Apple. Anyways, I think that dude is bomb, and if he's listening right now,
he's not.
He needs to know I support him in everything that he does.
My favorite song is kind of more like a favorite couple of songs or a section of the musical.
Not allowed.
Yes, it is totally allowed. Because they're right back to back to each other. Perón's Last Flame and A New Argentina, back to back. Man.
A New Argentina.
Yeah, A New Argentina. It gets stuck in my head. That's the one that was stuck in my head the most, and that's how I knew it was my favorite song. Because like, I forget the words they say, but then after they sing, in the between, you know, the music's like, okay, well, that explains everything.
Well, if you've just listened to it like we have, then you would know.
But the song before that, Perón's Last Flame, Perón's
Latest Flame.
I remember when we were watching that, I was like, this is my favorite. It's like a bunch of old people like singing in weird, like fancy
opera.
Yeah. And there's like dudes in showers like singing. And that was really funny to me. It was just a really cool scene. Like, it was directed great. And I will say that this music, I haven't seen this live. I've only seen the music or the movie version, but it's almost like sometimes the movie didn't match the feel of the music. You know what I mean?
How
like so? Visually, like when the kicks into like rock songs, it still looked like an old like 1940s South American movie. And sometimes it just clashed visually with how it sounded. But this song, I thought it fit really, really well.
Also, I think you like that song because they're like in the middle of their fancy opera and then they're like, slut.
Yeah, slut.
Right.
Or the evidence suggests, dun, 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 dun. You know what I'm talking about? And it does those cool little drums things.
Yeah.
The evidence suggests.
She has other interests. Yeah, I forgot.
And then they go, slut, or whatever. Yes. Gosh, that's a good song.
That is a good song. That song.
I will say another one I really liked that almost, the subject of it's kind of weird, but I really like the song, is the Rainbow High song we were talking about earlier. With the eyes, hair, mouth, figure, boom, 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 boom. And her being like, I need to be rainbow high. Just like the melody of that. It's a very interesting song.
I like that she keeps bringing up designer names.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that because I don't know anything about
me or Christian Dior me. But I thought that was funny too. And just kind of, it's an interesting scene of showing how like she's really enjoying her fame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And, you know, speaking of the lyrics, I think it's another example of when Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber work together. A lot of people say that's like the best combo for both of them. It just really works well. And Tim Rice's clever lyrics and Andrew Lloyd Webber's interesting melodies and chord progressions. I like that duo. They need to make something else together. What are they doing? It's been like since the 80s.
Maybe they're sick.
Well, that's sad.
I mean, Evita died at 33.
Wow. Spoiler alert. Except they say it at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
They're like literally the first words are like, Eva Perón is dead.
She died. Yeah, it's pretty much a dead giveaway. Oh. Can I say my second favorite song?
Oh, please do.
My second favorite song is Good Night and Thank You.
That's a fun one.
That is a fun song because essentially what we have. No, keep going.
Like I was just being weird while you were talking, but I was singing
the Twilight Zone, actually, what you're doing.
Yeah. I don't know the words they say, but it's like, don't blame him, promote them. I don't remember. No, promote them. Don't blame them.
Oh my gosh.
That sounded insane.
Okay, so what's crazy about that chorus, like when I listened to it, I was like, ooh, that's actually a really tough harmony.
It really is.
To nail, like, that's really hard. And I would try doing it one time, and I was like, that would take me, like, I don't know, like, that would take me a good, like, 25 practices, I think, to nail that harmony down, because it's so odd, and yet it's so good.
See, that's the thing. Andrew Lloyd Webber can write something that you feel like you've known your whole life. Like, the New Argentina, like, a new Argentina, a new... Like, I feel like I've heard that forever.
Yeah, like, even that sounds like a thing that I've known since birth.
Right? Mm-hmm. But then he writes stuff like we're talking about in the Good Night and Thank You, and it's, like, not natural at all to where you can't sing along to it. There's no natural progression. You have to, it's a song you have to learn. You can't just go with the flow and wing it. You have to like know it for sure.
And it's not even like there are times when the harmony hits and I'm like, ooh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this was a time when the harmony hit and I was like, oh, whoa, what?
Yeah. Like in a few weeks, we're going to do Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. Mm-hmm. And they have a song where they literally sing one half step down from each other.
Yes. Oh,
and it's the most grating thing ever. But when you know somebody's doing something like that on purpose, it's
impressive.
It's so impressive. Even if it still irks you, it's like that. I mean, it still takes a good ear to do that.
Mm-hmm. But the song, the subject of the song is her moving up the ladder through different men, each one more powerful than the last. And right. Literally Antonio Banderas is walking around dismissing them. I don't even know what do you call that thing he's doing?
It's up yours. It's a sign from up yours.
But it's not a middle finger.
No, it's just like the arm in the elbow arm.
It is part. So like, because when you listen to the music, it just cuts off. Because it he's doing that motion.
Boom, boom. But I've heard versions of it, though. I think in the movie, they don't say up yours, but in other versions, they do say, they say up yours.
Oh.
They don't let the music imply it. But in the movie version, the music goes, boom, boom. And so it's like, if you know the words, it's funny because you know up yours goes there.
Yeah. But yeah, the harmony and just like the humor of it. And just Antonio Banderas.
And we haven't talked about Madonna yet. Madonna plays Evita in the movie version. What do you think of Madonna in the role of Evita?
You know, I thought, cool.
Okay.
What did you think?
I thought she did a good job. I mean, it's my first exposure to Evita. Since then, I've listened to other versions, and she seems comparable. I think that people that hate on her probably just don't like Madonna. I didn't think her acting was that great, but vocally, I thought she was really good.
Well, I think we had a problem with the hand gestures that she would do.
Well, yeah, but I think that was most people in the movie. They would do this little hand, hold their hand next to their face and just kind of shake it while they talk to people.
But it was very stiff.
But that's how dictators are, you know, or leaders of countries. They try to communicate with their hands and be expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Especially back then, you know, you don't have a camera zoomed in on your face. You have to communicate to a large group. You're not going to do it with facial expressions. You're going to do it with body movements, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, Madonna.
That was a compliment.
Mm-hmm, for sure. The clumpiest of compliments.
Oh, that just sounds like chaos. I don't like that at all.
I want to play a game.
You ready to play a game already?
I'm ready to play a game already. We can talk more about the musical after the game, but listen up, Elise. I'm in game mode.
Oh, yeah. X Games mode.
Ready Player One.
Hey, that's a movie. Anybody seen that yet? Let us know.
Tweet us. What a stupid thing to tweet about on a musical podcast. Hey, let us know if you've seen a Steven Spielberg blockbuster movie for no reason. And, you know, with our luck, that would be the one that trends. You know? Guys, we tweet out weird stuff all the time. And for some reason, the, like, what would you have called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Yeah.
Has, like, 40-something retweets. Like, why, guys? That episode's over. Stop retweeting that.
Well, I mean, just retweet something else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want us to do? We'll do it.
Please like us.
Like and subscribe. Click follow below.
So, what's the game? What are we playing?
Oh, welcome to the game called Fact or Faked. Play that theme song. Fact or Faked.
That's a fact, baby.
Welcome back.
Bum, bum, bum.
Ooh, why are you saying that to our guests?
Well, because if you know what that means, then up yours. I don't know.
Yikes. And if you don't know.
Now you know. Evita. The game, if for those of you don't know, she gives me three facts. One of them's faked. I got to guess the fake one.
I give you two facts and one fake.
Right.
And you tell me which one's the little Perone.
Well, that's mean.
You tell me which one is the little middle class.
It's still mean.
You tell me which one is the little
slut.
Wow. Okay. Sure.
This is
a
slut shame game.
Ooh. Let's change the title to that.
Instead of factor flaked. Gosh, I keep putting L's in words.
What's compliment your obsession with flaked? L's?
Man, it's been an L of a day.
Oh man, that was like the best joke you've ever said. Let me tell you these facts and fakes and such. Ready?
Alrighty. Yes.
Okay. In honor of Argentina, numero uno.
Okay.
Madonna changed costumes 85 times, which ended up being in the Guinness World Records that year.
For most costume changes of a character in a movie?
Correctamundo. Ooh.
That's a random fact.
More Spanish.
A random Guinness record?
What do you want me to do about it?
Nothing. Okay, next.
Numero dos. Antonio Banderas admitted in an interview that Madonna made him so nervous that he, quote, forgot how to speak English when he met her for the first time.
I wonder if she took that as a compliment.
I sure hope so.
Okay, next.
Okay, numero tres. Lyricist Tim Rice requested that his girlfriend at the time get the role of Eva.
Okay, so we have costume changes. Mm-hmm. We have Antonio Banderas not being able to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Rice's girlfriend as Evita.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the last one is true because his girlfriend was Elaine Page, who was in Cats, and he wanted her to be Evita.
Who was
I know
she
that.
In Cats?
She was Grisabella, singer of Memory. See, I remember things. Memory. So I know that's true. So now it's just between Spanish Antonio Banderas or costume Madonna. They both sound so practical.
Practically perfect in every way.
The Guinness thing, let's see. See, I wish I could remember what she was wearing in the movie. 85 costume changes? That's a lot. Or maybe it's not. See, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, have you ever been in a movie?
No.
Oh.
Antonio Banderas, you know, I think that might have been his first role, one of his first roles in movies. I could be, that sounds wrong now that I said that out loud. But if it was his first role, then I could see him being nervous around Madonna, the queen of pop at the time. I don't know. That sounds practical. I'm going to go with the fake one being the costume changes by Madonna. That doesn't sound, first of all, it sounds like way too many costume changes. Second of all, who would care enough to put it in the Guinness World Book of Records? I think that one's fake.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Sí.
Ooh. How do you say false in Spanish?
Falso.
Falso.
I think it's actually falso. Or
es not correcto.
So I got it wrong or that was right that it was false?
Correct. You got it wrong.
Oh, okay. It's not...
So yeah, so man. Madonna,
so people actually care about her clothes?
Yeah,
who cares?
She did change costumes 85 times, and at the time that was the most that any actress had ever changed costumes in a movie ever. But I think since then it might have been replaced, I think. Don't quote
me
on that.
I hope so.
Don't quote me. But yeah, great job, Madonna. Antonio.
Jeez, what's wrong with us? This, I mean, when we said this is the podcast of Can't Talking, what a great title for this podcast.
Wow. But what's interesting is that Madonna was actually very interested in Antonio.
Like romantically?
Yes. Mm. And was plotting to try to seduce him. And he was married at the time. And then he made jokes about it later. And he was like, oh, she wish she could have a relationship with me.
Was that your Antonio impression?
Impression.
Can't talk.
Yeah, that's my Antonio impersonation, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Did you see who played Shay, the role of Shay recently?
No.
Ricky Martin.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah. And Martin. Did you see who played him originally?
No.
Mandy Patinkin. Do you know who Mandy Patinkin is?
Why does that sound familiar?
He was Inigo Montoya in The Princess
Inigo
Bride.
Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
And nice. I could totally see him in that role.
Totally.
It works so well. Shay?
What was I going to say about that one?
Were you going to Shay about it?
I was going to Shay. Antonio, when I was looking up these facts, I was reading quotes from Antonio Banderas, which, by the way, if you have any free time, go look up quotes by Antonio Banderas because he is wild. When you hear it, you're like, he would say that. You know?
No, I don't know. I don't know Antonio Banderas.
You do know Antonio Banderas. If you think you know Antonio, why can't I say his name? Can you say his name for me?
Antonio Banderas.
Thank you. I want to read a quote. I wasn't planning on reading this, so I have to find it. Okay, this is what he said. You ready? So you know how Antonio was Puss in Boots from Shrek?
Right.
Okay, so this is his quote about that. I hate that cat. Ever since he appeared in my life, he's more important than me. Now women always say, oh, I love that cat. He's so cute. Before it was, I loved you in The Mask of Zorro. And sometimes you think, is she saying that because she has some other intention? But no, they love the cat and they hate me.
Aw, that's so sad.
I know. He didn't have to be Puss in Boots. He could have passed it up.
You know, it's interesting. That means that Cats ruined Antonio Banderas' life, but Cats saved Andrew Lloyd Webber's life.
Did they save his life?
He pretty much didn't have to work a day in his life after Cats came out. Mm. He did, but he didn't have to.
Oh, yeah. That means he did everything out of just passion. I just think that Antonio needs more attention and he needs more love. And I think everyone should tweet him. Does he have a tweeter? A tweeter?
Does he have a tweeter?
Does he have a Twitter account, guys? Tweet me and let me know. So you lost the game, but you tried. All I ask, a new Argentina. Yeah, I feel like we haven't really talked about the songs much yet.
Well, there's a billion songs in this.
I realize.
I mean, you've got the Requiem for Evita, the one that starts out the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
When the musical started, I was like, huh, this is interesting, because it's pretty much just like you feel like you're in church.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is an interesting departure from what we've done with, you know, Cats and Jesus Christ Superstar and mm-hmm. Joseph. Immediately, there was a more mature tone to the whole thing. And then it cuts to, you know, Antonio Banderas, the Shay character, sitting in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the music changes to it's much more like... Because they use the tune from...
Oh, yeah, and it goes really fast. It has a fast tempo.
Yeah, it's the tune from Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. It has that same melody, but it's more of like a upbeat sounding song. I really like that, you know, the Welcome to the Musical type of vibe. And that mm-hmm. was a good starting one. But, you know, he's talking about like what a circus, and like, we don't know Evita yet, but he's basically like, okay, this is silly.
Mm-hmm.
He says silly thing to do for Evita. Who cares? At least that's the vibe I got.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And so it was an interesting journey then to see how we get from like, how come everybody's crying over this person who apparently this dude doesn't like?
Yeah.
So.
And the problem for me is that I trust Antonio Banderas with my life. So,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, if he's telling me that this is stupid and she's a horrible person and we shouldn't care, I believed it. And so it was like I spent the whole movie not really liking her because I was like, Antonio knows.
By the time we get to the song Don't Cry For Me, Argentina,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like I have sympathy for her, even though I've seen her like kind of use her body and her words to like finagle her way to the top of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like she could have done it in a different way, but it's like the 1940s. But it was just like, you know what? Maybe that's what she had to do to like get some power.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize she's not in it to help anyone. She's in it just for herself, even though she does help people. But then there's that song, The Money Keeps Rolling, Kept Rolling In mm-hmm. and Out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like she was being charitable, but also was she keeping some of it? I didn't quite understand.
I mean, I thought the point was like, you know, she came from a place where she saw how people were mistreated. She did kind of have a clear motive at first. She wanted to help people and better the world. And especially like growing up in a situation where her dad was super wealthy, but he had another family and he leaves them. And then mm-hmm. she grows up poor and she can't even like see him at the funeral because she's poor and no one wants her around. So right. I think it comes from, I mean, she's been burnt in life and she wants to give back and she wants to like better herself and better other people. But I think the point was like once she got there kind of in a not great way. Mm-hmm. But like you said, like how else would you do it? I don't know. And then when she got there, I guess it's kind of like debatable, but she may have gotten too wrapped up with right. the fancy life and, you know, having everything she wanted and wearing all these designer clothes. And it was just kind of like, wait, who are you? Like, are you the same person
yeah.
who got held back at your father's funeral, or have you turned into another like fame monster?
Right. She had good intentions and strove to get to that point so she could help those people.
Yeah.
But then she lost the plot and got sucked into that world. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. But
yeah.
See, I did find it harder to follow than like say Phantom or something.
Totally. I totally agree.
That's why I think I like the plot of Phantom more. Not to compare, we don't need to compare it, but like,
right.
But I just found the music to me was the most interesting part of this.
Mm.
And like I said, the most mature departure from things in the past that Andrew Lloyd Webber had done. And it just really felt refined and focused.
I mean, a lot of it is kind of up to your interpretation. Like, do you think she really was trying to help people? Do you think that she is essentially a good person? Or do you side with Antonio, who is representing, like, lower class people in viewing she got there the wrong way? And once she got there, she doesn't care about us. She's only for herself now.
Yeah, more like a traitor. Like, hey, you used to be one of us. She even says that, though. I think she says, like, how could he love, or if he doesn't love you, like, talking about her husband, how could he love me? Like, obviously, he would love the lower class because he loves me. I'm the lower class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she keeps saying, like, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance, which is a great line.
Don't keep your distance.
Yeah. I love that line because it is almost like she's saying, like, I'm doing things for you. Why don't you love me?
But she also uses being from lower class to get her husband where he wants to be by campaigning with him and trying to get all those people on her side. And so it's kind of like she's still using them even by supporting them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think that makes it a very interesting musical because she's not blatantly evil and she's not like holy and good. It's middle ground and it's a lot of what people deal with all the time where we're just like, I'm doing the best I can, but I'm still selfish, but I don't want to be. I help people too. So it's like, I think it's a very interesting character. And I could see why Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber were drawn to this story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think at first glance, it doesn't seem like, hey, let's make a musical out of this. But it is a very interesting subject matter.
And I also think just like with anybody who's in the limelight, anything you do can be taken two ways. So it's kind of hard even to do good, I think, when everyone's got their eyes on you because everyone's going to be judging you and everyone is going to question your motives.
What other songs can we talk about?
I also
Buenos Aires?
Yeah, I was going to say I like in that song when she... Oh, wait, is it that song? When she's like, a little bit of star quality.
She goes super low. Yeah, that's Buenos Aires.
Why did you not put the words in there? I just told you the words. Because I don't know
just a little bit of stock quality.
There you go.
Yeah, that's another example of like, you think you know where it's going, like melodically, and then it just keeps going. Like it just, you're falling down the staircase of notes and it's just... You're not expecting to go that far down.
And once it goes all the way there, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But you wouldn't have expected it. And I was also surprised at just how low her voice can go.
And it doesn't do that in the first time it kind of does that run. It like starts it and then stops halfway down that note progression or decline. And so then they come back to it and it goes even further down. And man, another time, further down. Just it always catches you off guard, you know, and
yeah,
I love that in a musical when I love that in any music, honestly, where it's not something that that's predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you catch on, then you can like learn it. But like that first time you hear it, you're like, okay, I think,
yeah,
da-do. That's for those old listeners.
Just the elderly.
No, I'm just saying we haven't quoted that in a long time.
Hey, Grandpa. See you at Christmas. Did you like Another Suitcase in Another Hall?
I thought it was a good song.
It's like, you'll get by, you always have before.
Yeah, I like that
song. Like the little background vocals, I like those.
Yeah. I guess I did like that song, but not as one I would listen to on its own necessarily. Like, yeah. I think it's really good and fun within the musical.
Mm-hmm.
But just like in my car, I'd probably skip that one.
But also, can we talk about this? Because I may be completely off. I think it might be at the end of Buenos Aires. But when she goes to an audition and you see that the weird photographer guy and he's like,
oh, yeah,
don't ask anymore or whatever he says.
Right.
Because she says, where am I going to? And he tells her not to ask anymore. And I thought that was really funny when we were watching it. And then that repeats itself. Perone's girlfriend before she meets him. When she dismisses her, the girl says the same thing, like, where am I going to? And she's like, don't ask anymore. Well, anyways, it happens a couple times and I liked that. But I was thinking about it and it seems like, I think I kind of took it as, don't ask that question anymore, like take control of the situation. Like, don't be the victim and don't just sit here and like whine and like, what's going to happen to me? Like, just decide and do it. Because after that guy says that, that's the point when she does kind of take control and she starts like climbing the men ladder.
The men ladder.
Yeah. And then when she says it to the other person, the other girl that she kicks out of Perone's house, she's like kind of telling her the same thing, like, you know, don't let him control you and him kick you out and him put you in this position, take control of your life and go screw somebody else, basically.
Right.
So I don't know. That's kind of what that's kind of what I took away from it. Like, it was a control thing, like take control of your own life and do what you got to do to get by type of deal, maybe.
You get by, you always
have before.
I didn't really have a point of view on that phrase. But I guess it
was just funny the first time because I was like, why is he telling her not to ask anymore? Like, who's this dude? And then that's the guy she dates. Like, right. She sees him as, you know, another step on the man ladder and she starts climbing.
And she climbed all the way to that balcony where she sings, "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina." What'd you think of that song? We haven't really talked about that song.
Don't Cry for Me, Argentina.
It's like the most famous song from this.
Something.
The truth is, I never left you. Wow. Why'd you keep singing if you knew none of the words?
Because you weren't stopping me.
So this is the only one I knew before listening to the musical.
And I think I'd heard it before too, but I couldn't tell you how or where.
Well, a bunch of pop stars in the 80s and I think late 70s. When did this musical, I guess, of the 80s?
This was, I don't know.
Like, the movie was 96.
Right,
but
that's what I was going to say.
So a bunch of pop stars in the 80s recorded it. So I guess that's how it became very mainstream. I think I also saw it. I guess Madonna hosted SNL the year this came out in 96.
Oh.
And I think they did a Don't Cry for Me, Argentina skit. So that's probably how I know it as a kid growing up.
That makes sense.
But it's a good song. I can understand why that song is like the breakout song, because out of all the slower songs, it's probably the most, like, you know, we were talking about Andrew Lloyd Webber switches it up and tries to catch you off guard. That one's not really like that. You can pretty much follow that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like overly artsy or anything. Just a nice little ballad.
And it comes back several times. So, you know, I think I get kind of confused, like, which parts it's in, because it's kind of everywhere.
Right.
But we talked about that a lot, that he keeps bringing back the same themes, and it makes it very cohesive.
Well, do you want to rate this?
Yes. Let's rate it.
All right. Let's get into it.
All right.
Elise, what would you rate Evita?
Before I rate it, I want to say this. Have you ever heard that country song that's like, Maria, Maria, I love you?
No, but I'm assuming you're going to replace that with Evita.
Evita, okay. Evita, I love you. This happened to me literally 20 times ever since I saw it. I keep thinking of that song. It's ruining my life.
I mean, it just ruined everybody else's too.
Oh, that better have been a compliment.
That was not a compliment.
Oh, that's rude.
It was a compliment.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Don't know how ruining people's lives is a compliment.
Ask Evita.
Evita.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What would you rate this?
I'm so sorry, but like, I had to tell you because it's been really irritating. Okay, so the plot was a little bit difficult to follow, but the music is great. And I had a hard time finding a least favorite song because they're all very similar, but have their own style. And it's just very interesting.
I think, not to jump into your rating time,
please,
but
jump.
There, There are so many good hooks in most of these songs.
You get hooked.
So it's like, at first you're like, okay, well, I don't know about this. And then the chorus kicks in and you're like, oh yeah, but I like this
one.
So I'm right there with you.
That was my problem. You know, this is Andrew Lloyd Webber Appreciation Month and I appreciate him.
Okay, I'll call him, let him know.
Actually, yeah, we should tweet him on his Twitter account.
On Twitter. Yeah, okay.
We should do it. I like the interesting dichotomy of, you know, the lower class guy, his perspective, and Evita's perspective of the situation, having both and like the contrast. And we didn't even discuss this. Why didn't we discuss this? But the waltz where they're singing together and they're going back and forth and he's like, why are you letting us down? And she's like, what more do you ask of me? And that is just a really cool interaction.
It was beautiful in like a, let's take a break from the story and let's just do like a dream sequence of like these concepts conversing to each other. It was really, really cool.
Right. So a lot of good things is what I'm trying to say that I can take away, like actual interesting concepts, like not just this kind of like frou-frou story and like music thrown in. Like it actually has meaning, which is nice.
Yeah, it's not just like, you know, Phantom's kind of like a love story. This isn't like, it has a love story in it, but it's not about that. It's like standing up for where you came from, standing up for the people you come from, being true to your word.
Other people's perspectives. Is it okay to do right, to do wrong in order to do right? I'm going to rate it an 8.
Eight.
Yeah. 8 is great. James?
Well, everything you just said, bueno,
ooh,
very good. Yeah, the more I listen to it, the more I like it. Like you said, the plot is a little confusing, but I think if I studied up on my history, I think I would appreciate it a lot more.
If I knew coming into it, I would have been able to follow it much better.
Right. And I mean, honestly, it's fresh on our minds. We don't say this very often on the podcast, but like, a lot of these things we're experiencing like a week before, maybe even less than that. And it's a first reaction to these musicals. You know, we don't know everything about them. So this one is really, it's fresh on our minds. It's new to us. And I hope to listen to it more. And it'll be like, you know, how like coffee kind of grows on you. At first people are like, I don't like coffee, but then it's an acquired taste, I would say, you know. I think Evita and honestly anything Andrew Lloyd Webber, except for like the really mainstream stuff like Phantom, I think it's an acquired taste. I think the more you listen to it, the more you pick up on like the nuances of it. There's a lot more than meets the eye. And this is one of those ones where I could chew on this forever and it wouldn't lose its flavor.
What a nice metaphor for all of us.
Just imagine me chewing on it like a cud.
Yeah, I'm picturing you as a cow now.
Thank you.
How now, James Brow?
Okay. So I'm going to give two ratings. I'm going to give the movie version. I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
I really liked it. I think it would probably be better seen live. Just because, like I said, the music sometimes didn't match what I was watching on the movie. I think that wouldn't be as distracting to me if it was on a stage. So if I'm judging it just based on the music, though, and not the visual direction or representation of everything, I'm right there with you. I'd give it an 8. And I think it's one that I might give a higher score. I wouldn't give it a 9, I don't think. I don't like it that much. But I think I might get into like an 8.5 eventually. Because I really do like some of these songs. And I could see them becoming some of my favorite like musical songs.
Yeah.
Just because they're so interesting and complex.
Yeah.
And like I use this term a lot for this one, but mature. And it's hard not to use that word mature because...
You've used that today?
I've said it several times on this episode.
Ah, okay.
That it's a very mature sounding version of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I think because we've been looking at a lot of his other musicals like Cats and some of the goofier ones, this is just, it's very impressive to see that that can come from the same mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The range and yet the similarities. I don't know. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to give it an 8 and, you know, check back with me in a year and it might be higher. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our Evita episode. What do you think?
I think Evita forever.
Baron, Baron, Baron.
Evita, Evita, Evita. Let's just do that.
I mean, that's pretty much what a huge chunk of the musical was.
It really is. You think we're kidding.
Guys, get us on Twitter. Get us on Twitter. Sure,
why not?
Follow us on Twitter at WRLM Podcast or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals, because next week, well, actually, in a couple days from now, April 1st, we're going to be live tweeting Jesus Christ Superstar on NBC Live. But also, we want to know your alternate titles for Jesus Christ Superstar. What would you have called Jesus Christ Superstar? We want to know. All right, so we'll see you guys next week on We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the music. That was the first time I ran out of breath on that.
Wow.
I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And I'm sorry.
No, you're James.
Yeah. Evita, you ignorant slut.
A new Argentina.
Musicals. Jazzy.